Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to Live Without a Net. I have an awesome guest today. Her name is Josephine Stansberry, and she is an owner of Crown and Ember Pet Care. Welcome to the show, Live Without a Net. Josephine, how are you?
Hey, Jen. I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for doing this. I think you're amazing at what you do. And I really just want to know, where does your love for pets come from?
I would say it started at a very young age. Primarily, my brother and I, our age gap is 13 years. So he was like a second dad to me. And I was one of those kids raised by a mom who wanted me outdoors, making magical mud pies, you know, figuring out life in the backyard. And I think I bonded right away with my chocolate lab, Tuscany. She was my first best friend. So I definitely think the nature of my love stems from that relationship that I had with my first ever dog.
I love that. So in a time where everyone's always on their cell phones and busy and on social media, you grew up appreciating nature and the little things in life. Because I do, even with my dog, I love staring at him as he's just like eating a stick or walking. I know that's strange, but it's like, it makes you appreciate the simple things.
Yeah, for sure. Imagination, creativity, everything that you need to survive nowadays is definitely, it starts in childhood. I too love the little things that all animals do, from sticks in their mouths to drool on their face to wiping their hinies with wet wipes. I know that sounds quite crazy, but yeah, I love everything that specifically dogs do. I love cats too. But it's amazing the relationship and the connection that you can have with not just your own pet, like your own fur member of your family, but also other families' fur babes too.
And I see they respect you. You show them discipline. Is that something you learned on your own through YouTube?
No. I did learn it on my own. You know, for me, I want to say that I fell into this and it just happened. It is kind of true. You know, I just started my own business and it happened to be pet care, but I think I just learned by doing it. You know, it's very important if you take the time and you assert the patience to understand an animal, specifically dogs and even cats, you can really get to bond with them on a friend level. And I know that sounds super corny, but it's 100% true. Just like humans, we all have different personality traits and triggers and different things that we like. So it's important to get to know an animal just the same way that you would want to get to know somebody that you are interested in.
Yeah, that's so true. I never think about that in terms of
like... So no, I wasn't like sitting on my YouTube and looking up like how to train dogs. For me, it's... For me, in my mind, what I try to establish just with clients and business relationships and friendships in general, boundaries are a very good thing to have. They don't keep people out. What they do is they teach people how to respect your time, your energy. And I do the same thing with the dogs and the cats and all the fur animals. I even have a tortoise that I am a friend with. Well, I do that with all the animals.
I love that. So you just think you have a way of kind of like an empathetic, genuine.
Yeah, I would say, way. I would say if you asked me circa 2018 when I, you know, was in corporate America and it was, you know, fast paced, ever changing, ever evolving, very fluid, sales driven. Type of atmosphere, if I spoke animal, I would look at you maybe five different ways and be like, what? But I definitely think I can say I speak animal.
I think you do too. I mean, I've seen you with my own dog and he makes me fall and I can barely keep up with him on walks, but with you, he walks like a different dog.
And that's what keeps me going too. Just being able to, the drive isn't so much the money that I make. The drive for me is being able to have those relationships with the animals and understand their needs and fulfill them. So I think bonding with the animals that way, you know, you can get them to do whatever because they understand that you are being understanding of them and being receptive to their needs. And that makes such a difference.
Yeah, I agree. So you were in corporate America. What were you doing and how did you make the change?
So I won't say any names, but I will say I started from the ground up, sales representative, and within 5 years I had, you know, become an influencer in the market and a sales trainer, business specifically. I did run my own stores, high level performing stores with 40 plus employees, slower paced stores. Still the same type of thing. You're definitely dealing with and managing to not only the needs of the business, but everybody's personalities and their needs and, you know, what drives them and what motivates them and how do we, you know, accomplish things as a team outside of it just being, hey, here's your quota, like get to it. Let's get this money. some old slang coming back into it, but, what did you ask me?
Basically, you went from corporate America. It's okay. I can always edit this out. You went from corporate America and you made the switch. Like, what inspired you to make that switch? Because it seems like you're very at peace with your decision.
Specifically, I was very good at my job in all facets. I spoke and was able to very much so interact with my superiors, my team, that was definitely something that was my strong suit. I enjoyed leading people very much so. In corporate America, specifically in my industry, it was always next level, next level, next level, you know, and I can at some point appreciate that drive to never stay stagnant. But also too, at the same time, it becomes very tiring. It becomes lack of really focusing on your personal life, focusing on your health, your well-being, because you're constantly chasing that next quota, that next level. You know, and I can admit you get sucked into this environment of you're not even realizing that you're stepping on people to get to the next level. So what drove me to make the decision to switch careers was the pandemic happened. We were facing a merger. I was pretty much scared shitless. I knew all facets of the business. And when you're in a merger, you want to show the people that are acquiring your company that, hey, I'm not just a number. This is how I can contribute to your business. I can do it all. Whatever you want me to do, I'm down. Let's do it. You know, if I have to take a step back to get 5 steps ahead, I'm willing to take that chance, that risk. And I started to work from home. We were not allowed out in the field. We were not allowed out to do one-on-one trainings in stores and in the training facilities. I started to do customer service chats. And everybody on my team, my peers, they were like, what are you doing? Like they were questioning me. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? What am I doing? You know, like I'm staying focused. And you know, all this craziness is going on in the world. And, you know, we have to contribute. We have to play our part. We can't just sit home. Who knows? We could get furloughed. We could get all these things were coming to my mind. Let's just stay busy. And it was a whole situation. Oh, well now Joey, you're doing this and we're going to be made to do this. And it's like, no, man, like you're looking at it the wrong way. We should be doing something. You know, contribution is key for me. It's what keeps me going. And it could be anything. I'm waking up and I'm doing something. I'm not staying in bed. I'm not worrying about tomorrow. I'm going for it. You know, whatever it is that I need to do. And then I started connecting with people through chats. One lady had, her son had cancer. She had cancer. Her husband just passed away. Who knows if it was true or not, but she said, you know, I don't know you. I can't see you, but just your words through the computer mean so much to me. And I think that was like a turning point. I'm like, hey, wait, like I can connect to people through like a keyboard. They don't even see me. They don't even know my personality. They don't know what even makes me great. And hey, I can do this too. So my gear started, you know, grinding a little. Maybe my spirit guides or the universe were, that was started to be the push, pushing me into a different direction. You know, certain things weren't going my way in the sense of, I'm not just going to sit home and do nothing. And that's what really propelled me to, and I don't even know if I can kind of say the company that I started to dog walk for, but I said, man, I got to get a hobby. I really need to get a hobby. I can't stay stuck in the house. I can't just go and do grocery shopping and wiping everything down. It was getting monotonous. I said, I need to exercise and I need to get out there and I need to just do something for my mental health. So I started walking dogs. And then, you know, I was FaceTiming a friend who happened to be in PR and marketing. And she's like, Joe, you know, just for laughs, you should make business cards. And every time you go to a person's house, leave them. And I said, you know, I should, because I'm out and about. And I know I see all these other walkers and they're in their phone and they're not paying attention to the dog and they're not picking up the dog's poo. And I'm like, I could do this, you know? So I started leaving my business cards. I probably did like 500 walks in the first month and everybody's like, oh, you're nuts. I said, it's just, I needed to get out, you know? So I left about 500 business cards and not even, you know, a week later, I was getting, hey, you walked my dog via blah, blah, blah. We loved your recap. We loved your summary. We loved your pictures. Would you want to come walk the dog steadily? So I started to do what every salesperson does and started building my clientele and seeing what could be as far as like, hey, this is a great side hustle, you know, and I can continue to do this. And then I started thinking, well, if I did get let go, I could make this work, you know, for my corporate job, if the merger goes through and they let everybody go. So they did let people go. And of course, you know, I was kept. And then we started to have more team calls and things started to turn around. And, you know, we were getting back out in the field and I got a new boss and we clicked just fine. But when I have to be a role model for my boss, to me, that's an issue. So needless to say, I confided, you know, in him a few times with things that, you know, really just weren't getting done. The business needs were not getting done. And I needed him to help me with this. And everybody on the team was going through this. A very long-winded answer, cut short. He wasn't proactive. He was lazy. I can't do lazy. Right. So I cannot. So, and also too, like the business needs weren't getting met and it really had a bearing on not only my performance, but the people that I was leading, the people that I was training with business sales. They weren't getting paid. So I finally said, it's me, you know, after, you know, a week vacation, I took a week and I really thought about it. And then I didn't think about it. And then I thought about it. And then I said, it's okay. It's you. Which, you know, when you walk through life, you know, that TikTok, is it me? Is it me? Am I the drama? You know, no, I wasn't drama. I just wasn't with the right people. I wasn't with my people.
Right.
So I said to myself, I would be a coward and I would be wrong to stay in a toxic environment after everything that we've been through with the pandemic. There's so many people that, you know, I worked in a sales market with New York, mm-hmm. and many people were getting on the conference calls and saying, hey, I lost my father-in-law. You know, I lost my brother. I lost my father. You know, I was very lucky. I didn't have anybody in my life that was significantly impacted by the pandemic. And I said to myself, I would really be a fool to stay in this toxic work environment instead of just walking away for my mental health. So yeah, it was the first big thing that I ever did that I was petrified to do, you know, traditional money, paycheck, 401k, health insurance, you know, all these things. But I said, if I'm doing it with just cause, I believe enough in myself that even if I have to Instacart, I will do it and I will make it work and I will figure it out. But I'm not going to continue to subject myself to this chaos.
Good so,
I'm totally, I'll be honest, this was like such a pivotal decision, such a monumental decision, such a scary decision, but I'm glad that I reflect peace because I feel like, wow, I've made it. It doesn't matter how much money, you know, health is the new wealth. And that makes me happy that you see that because that's why I did it.
And you have the confidence to do it. A lot of people don't have that. That's why they keep going after the corporate job and staying in that little bubble. Yeah. So,
been the most confident of people that give of themselves and everything that they have to offer. They're still very insecure because that environment makes them insecure and they don't even realize it.
Exactly. And they keep going for the next job, the next job, the next job. Whereas like, but that's the difference between entrepreneurship and people that work for someone. So we obviously like risk and we can handle the ups and downs. So it might be more of a personality trait than something else.
Yeah. It's like when you have to look up like 10 ways to handle a toxic work environment, you know, these are the things that I'm like looking up and I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, why do I don't need these self-help tips, you know, you should enjoy what you do. And I know that's like, you know, people, they either get it or they don't. And what I learned is it's okay. You don't have to get it. I'm not asking you for your opinion. I'm not asking you for your validation. Like I'll do 50 things. And if I fail at every single one of them, cool, because it's still learning for me. And what I realized is that a lot of people don't look at situations like that. And that's okay. For me, it's always learning. It's always like, okay, this isn't a problem. You know, this is actually an obstacle that you went through. It didn't go your way. Cool. Now, when you face another obstacle, you're going to have that in your tool set and you're going to be able to power through something that maybe you wouldn't have been able to do if you hadn't gone through struggles and faced challenges.
Yeah, it's definitely a confidence thing. I think most people are afraid.
Yeah, I'm not really scared.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, but you're doing great. And now that your company may even pivot, you said you're doing weddings. I want to hear about that. Then I want you to talk about a little bit about your new business, Trails for Tales.
Yes.
Tales for Trails. Okay. Fill us in.
Yeah. So I got into the walking game and that was cool. And you know, kicking butt in my steps on my Apple Watch, my Apple Ring. And then I said, all right, there's more. And then I thought with that, because I'm like, stop it. That's a toxic trait. Just learn to live in the moment. Just be a walker for a little bit. Learn the business. So I walked for like 2 months, you know, and then I'm like, wow, like I take my dogs everywhere. You know, how, I don't even know what I would do if I wanted to go away and I couldn't take them. Like I have my mom, but you know, like why should I put my responsibility on my mom, you know? And then I started thinking about, geez, like I don't trust anybody. Like I don't really trust a whole lot of people to take care of my animals. Will they feed them the way I feed them? Like they're my babies. So I started thinking like, I know that if I get in front of the right people and they understand my story, I can not only connect with their animal, I'll be able to connect with them and we can build that bond and that trust. And I can start like watching them, sitting them. And that's exactly what I did. You know, I didn't start out with like my 30, 60, 90 tails, wins, head wins. No, I just threw myself out there and said, all right, this feels right. I'm going to do it. So I started to do overnight care. And, you know, you can ask any one of my clients, and I say this with pride and I'm proud of myself. They all say, we don't know what it would be like without you. And that means a lot to me. I get like super emotional about it because I treat people how I want to be treated. Like that's my love language. So to hear that, it's everything to me. You know, I have a client that Jaffa, he's over here somewhere, but he's moving to California, and you know, I opened up a card today. This is my last day with him. And it was like, every one of our friends is so jealous that we have somebody that cares so much about our dog because they don't have that where we live. And we don't know what we're going to do when we move to California. And I said, well, I'm just a FaceTime away. And I said, listen, if you're going for more than 3 days, I'll hop on that flight. And I'm there. I'm in Cali. Jaffa, here I come. So now I started thinking, you know, my next big move from like the walking and the sitting and like basically the generic care is, you know, global pet care. You know, giving people that unique one of a kind, hey, like you're on vacation and you're on the beach and you're not worrying about, you know, if your dog is choking on a bone that they're not supposed to have. I know that sounds super raw, but that's the reality of the situation. You know, do they have water? Are their basic needs being met? And then also too, like, are their emotional needs being met? We have pandemic doggies, and there's nothing wrong with shelter dogs that acquire more attention, require more attention, you know, emotional needs. There's nothing wrong with that. You just got to find the right people that not only are going to care for your dog, but also offer insight to how your bond with your dog can be even stronger because they're around your dog and they're understanding what your dog's needs are. Like, how awesome would that be? I would love that. I mean, I'm sure everybody could use a little feedback now and again.
Absolutely.
So then, you know, one of my clients approached me and was like, well, we're getting married. You know that. And we know that you're staying with the, you know, the girls. Would you bring Finley to our wedding? And I'm like, all right. So I started thinking about cost and travel and what that actually would look like. And, you know, we launched the wedding care services. So for 4 to 5 hours, you can reserve a package for your wedding day and you can tell us, you know, hey, I need you at the Mercantile Building in Philly, or hey, I need you at the Four Seasons because we want a boudoir pick with our dog. And then, hey, whatever you want on your wedding day to include your fur babe. You know, because that is not only like you getting married is not only your love story, you know, like it's your dog's love story too. Like you are your dog's love story.
Yeah. So
that matters to them. And some people will be like, oh, you're crazy. No, you're crazy. You got to include your animal in things. They matter.
Yeah.
We offer wedding support day services. We offer packages that do include like overnights if the location where you're staying at isn't pet friendly. So you don't have to worry about anything. Like you can focus on your crazy big day, but you can still have your best friend there too.
So I can't wait for that day.
Oh, like I can't wait for you for that day either.
I just love the Instagram reels where you see the dogs. Like I've seen golden retrievers go down the aisle and I'm like, oh, I've seen other dogs too, but I'm like, I want that.
We keep it real at Crown and Ember. We give you the good stuff, but we also give you the background on like what it took to get there because it is not a perfect, you know, Instagram reel. And like, honestly, I appreciate when people keep it a J, like 100, because the glimpses, the pictures, the moments leading up to that perfect picture really matter too, you know? So we do also assist in proposals and pet photography days that you like. So say you want to get a family photo done and you want your doggy there. I actually recently just had a client ask me to do some support for him and his girlfriend. They have two dogs. He thought, you know, hey, it would be too much. Could you meet us at the venue? And he surprised me. So we now have documentation of him proposing to his significant other. Like, she was shocked. The dogs were there. It was great. So we're also able to catch moments that maybe the photographer is not really looking at that, because they're more of people and landscape as opposed to action shots and dogs. So that matters too. And that's, we offer that. We just launched a hiking service. So people are probably like, well, who cares about hiking? Well, it is important. Get your city dog out of the city and into what we like to say the trails. It just provides, it provides an opportunity for them to show good behavior and for us to reinforce good behavior. New scents, new sounds, new scenery. That all matters for mental and physical stimulation and exercise for your dog. We do.
I don't think people understand that. I mean, I do because my dog's really active, but I don't know if a lot, I know a lot of people that just their dogs are just at home.
Yeah. I mean, even the little guys too. You'd be so surprised. A dog that it doesn't really move around, couch potato, you start making a cadence, you start making a routine, maybe once a week, twice a week. They're like new life. It's new life for a dog.
Yep. New discoveries, new sniffs. One more question. So I just want to know, like, what you think is the most important thing for someone to have when they like leave the corporate life to do something on their own. I feel like anyone listening, like, you had the strength to let go. Like, what do you think someone needs to know to be able to not be afraid and believe in themselves? Because you definitely believe in yourself. There's no question just from watching you in this interview and listening, but I don't know if everyone has that. So is there like any words of advice? Because I mean, I'm still an entrepreneur, but there's so many ups and downs. I don't know if that'll ever end. It's what entrepreneurship is. But you know, the average person that may be afraid to let go. Like, do you have any advice since you did it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when we hear things like be fearless, you know, motivational speakers, they say, you know your worth, know your strengths, like all these things. But when we hear people say that, you know, what does being fearless really mean? Because it's really defined by what are you fearful of? You know, what's your fear? What's your trigger? For me, it was, And I will admit this, but it's hard for me to admit this. I was stagnant. I was very stagnant in the sense of living amongst the confines of what my boss set for me, what my peers set for me. Okay, this is, you know, a corporate job. You know, I mentioned earlier in the interview, it's safe, 401k, pension, benefits, health benefits. Be fearless. You know, entrepreneurship isn't cut out for a lot of people. But I will tell you that when we talk about self-worth, you have to know that you're important enough that no matter what, you can succeed. Even if it is walking away from something that's comfortable, but it's damaging your mental stability and it's making you sick inside. And you're having all these issues to hold on to a job where, you know, it's the quintessential saying, you're a number. You know, it's not easy managing people, but it's easy to get caught up in, no, we have to drive the sale. We have to get to our angle, whatever that is. And I think for me, what I would say to me 2 years ago, all those times that you sat behind your chair or you're on a sales floor and you're saying, gosh, these people don't even know what it's like to work in a store. Don't even know what's really going on in the field. Because if they did, they would understand that what they're rolling out makes zero sense. No sense. But when you're around people, when you get feedback, they think that that's a problem. That's your key indicator right there that these people are not your people and you better go find your people. And if you don't or can't find your people, make your own army, make your way yourself, and the right people will attract them. You don't even understand the opportunities and the new experiences and just like meeting you and meeting people that I would never have met, never have gained knowledge from, being in the situation that I was in. You know, I was stifled. And now, yeah, I've always been a very confident person, but because I'm happy, oh, I'm so much more better. I'm great. And I can give that to everybody that's around me. And that's a difference. When we say be fearless, you don't need to have a plan. Like, I did not have a plan. I did not have money in my bank account. You know, I didn't have a savings. I'm just being very transparent. It's not about all that. It's like, what's important to you? And if it's really important to you, you will do what you need to do to get to where you want to be. Because no one, your mom, your dad, the family members that just don't get it when you are like, oh, I have this like amazing idea. They don't mean to like rain on your parade, but the reality of the situation is they're in the safe zone, right? They love you. They care about you. You know, so they want to see you succeed, but they also want you to be very balanced in the decisions that you're making. The people at work, no, we can't lose you, but they're not saying that to you. They're not expressing how valuable and viable you are for their company and what would happen if they lost you, because they just will replace you.
Right. If you're saying things that are in this book that I got when I was in Raleigh, The Power of One More, you have to read it.
I didn't read it.
Yeah.
Not on the internet searching and Googling like motivational phrases.
Yeah. He says that about your family or friends. And if they don't have the same beliefs you do, like, who cares? It only takes one. It's just like one person. You don't have to listen to them. Limit your time with them.
Yeah. It's that's something that I didn't really realize, you know, through care, they care about you, right? They don't want to see you fall. They don't want to see you flounder. Not especially when you walked away from like a safe, reliable job. Like if you get sick, you have health insurance. You know, if, you know, you could take short-term leave, whatever it is that motivates and drives them. So for me, one big obstacle was knowing that I don't have to seek like approval. I just need to go and do the things that I need to do. And it doesn't matter if they work or not, because you're already winning by just doing them. So, you know, I'm closest to my mom, and my mom was like, oh my God, like you're going to leave your job. And I had to break it down there. I'm like, well, it's either I leave and I go pursue something that I love, because that is what makes me the most successful in life, or I start to have mental health issues. Like, I broke that down for her, and I think she understood it. But in your life, you don't have time to constantly break down or explain what your thought process is, because you have to remember, no one is you. That's your power. No one thinks like you. Go out and just do it. You have to just go and do things. You don't need a plan. Look at me. I pay my bills. You know, I'm inspired every day. I have like these great connections with all these animals and nature, and what drives me and motivates me is passion for getting my clients to understand the needs of their pets, the enrichment and everything that goes into having a dog, and trying to problem solve. Hey, you know, Maverick's doing this. What should I do? Let's work through it together.
You are a great problem solver. He loves it.
You know, and I used to get super frustrated with people, because I just used to be like, what is like hard about this? Let's just try this. Or, hey, well, I'm quick on my feet too. And I realized I have to be tolerant and I have to be patient, because not everybody's a problem solver. And I realized that now, not even working my 9 to 5. So it's even made me stronger with communicating. But sometimes you do have to map it out for people. But whatever your strengths are, I don't care what anybody says, if you're good at something, you're going to be happy. So if you want to focus on one strength and pursue it. But if you're like me and you have multiple strengths, I'm just kidding, but
Oh, yeah, you gotta toot your own horn, because if you don't, no one else will.
It's 2022 and everything's changing. And, you know, one of the biggest things for me too was I went to work and a lot of people look like me. And now I'm out and about, I'm in these streets. I don't know the person, what the person looks like, or, you know, where they come from, what culture they are, what kind of dog they have, until I do a meet and greet. And it's awesome because I learn new things all the time. So it's very inspiring. It's very empowering to me. And if somebody tells you that you can't do something that you love, that that's not work, it's complete bullshit. You can do whatever you want to do.
I agree. You need to be a motivational speaker. You have a talent and you don't even know.
Maybe.
The pet care speaking circuit. You show you're naturally gifted.
I can do it in pet care, you know, and as a female and, you know, a single mother of three fur babes. Well, you know what? Anybody can do it. I truly believe that.
Amen. I agree.
Clients, like, you know, my clients, I'm going to say one more thing.
Of course.
Sales 101, your base. You know, I will say that biggest thing is your base, and you have to practice gratitude that no matter what, wherever you're at in your journey, small business, I have like 7 businesses, I'm about to sell my other business. You always have to practice gratitude. Like, I remind my clients all the time, without you, I would literally not be able to like live my dream. Without you, I would never be able to exist. Like, and do this. It's a dream come true. And it doesn't matter if I grow my business on the next 2 years to be a multi-million dollar company. What we can't buy is happiness.
And you can see it all over your face. So this is I got to use this part in the promo, because that's what the others who are afraid to let go need to see. You get emotional about it.
I do, because if you asked me 6 years ago, I'd be like, no, this is my plan and this is where I'm going to be. And I'm going to be a district manager. And the next thing is an ARD, an area, you know, district manager, you know, whatever. And like, the reality of the situation is I was working with people that, you know, we have classifications for like stores, like what store you're running. And I used to look and I used to say like, bro, if you're out on a date with somebody, are you really like, I'm an A100 manager?
Right.
No, because no, it's not about titles. We still get paid the same amount of money. Like, nobody that doesn't work in our industry is going to even understand what that means. They want to know what your name is, your personality, you know, what can you give to them? What can they give to you? It's not a matter of, oh, I'm this and this and this. It doesn't matter. You could literally not have a college degree and be a billionaire. It doesn't matter. What matters is what you do with your time.
Yes, I read something today. Don't let time bandits take your time. And I sometimes do, but I'm working on it. It's a struggle because I like people and I, you know how it is. I know you like people too. So sometimes it is difficult to like pick and choose.
Happy people. I even like miserable people. And that's what makes me
Great.
That's like the biggest strength that I do have, because, you know, when you get people talking about what they love and you're able to connect with them with things that interest them, you know, we learn about this in all the business classes, but when you genuinely want to know and you get their buy-in, it's amazing, because it's like, hey, like, you were really shitty. You're being super mean. And now you're like telling me about your boat, you know? So if I could tell myself, my 33-year-old self, I won't age myself, to leave at the first minute that I knew that it wasn't right for me to stay, I would tell her, leave. Because if I could have been living this life 5 years ago, boy, oh boy. But we're in the here, we're in the now, and it's great.
I love it. Well, you are definitely like the commercial for entrepreneurship and why you need to have passion to love your job and to be happy. And that's what it's about. It's freedom of financial goals, freedom of time, freedom of just being creative when you want to be creative and not when you don't want to be. So Yeah. I mean, I loved talking to you. I know you're going to inspire so many people, and I'm definitely using the end part of this to, for the video, because you're just so adorable and it just like, it shines through you. So I'm so proud you found your calling.
Thank you.
And I want people to be able to find you. So let them know like your Instagram, your Facebook, your TikTok, your
TikTok. It's one of a kind. My Instagram is, you know, I have a website and it's great and it gives you prices, and you know, not everybody is going to be a Crown and Ember client. And hey, guys out there, you got to know, not everybody's Crown and Ember material. We don't just take anybody. But if you want to catch a vibe, it's at Crown and Ember_Pet Care. My website is www.cesitwalk.com, and check us out.
And what is Crown and Ember from? You told me, I just forget.
Ember is my West Highland Terrier's name, Ember Rose, and she is a Scottish queen. And, you know, at the end of the day, when I was trying to go over some names, some catchy names, I said, you know, royalty, like, yeah, we're the royalty squad. Like, we're in the streets and we're providing a one-of-a-kind, unique experience. And, like, your dog's going to get treated like the queen or king or whatever you want them to be, the jester. Like, they're going to get treated like royalty. And so are you. So it's like Crown and Ember.
I love it. It's a beautiful name. I was just curious. I didn't realize your dog's name was Ember. Ember Rose. So cute. Well, I'd love to have you on, Josephine. Thank you so much. You truly live by the phrase, live without a net. And I can't wait for everyone to hear this. So thanks again. Yep, of course. Take care.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks everyone for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram at Jennifer Sherlock or my business Instagram at JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanet.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.